Hello, everyone. Welcome.
Thank you, ESPN, for letting us use your mute. You're too kind.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Final Play Podcast. This week will be about the NBA semifinals. This is probably the best way to call them. Second round. Call it what you will, but all the East and West sort of semifinals.
Conference semis.
We might as well start with the West, I guess.
Both pretty good, I think.
One series, yeah. Well, we can start with the less interesting series, I guess, if you want to put it that way. The number one Lakers versus Houston, who are seeded four. Lakers by now should know. Lakers come through one in five games, 4-1. I can't say it wasn't predictable.
No, not predictable. I honestly thought that Houston would have been able to put up a little bit more of a fight, even though they were grossly outmatched height-wise by the Lakers. But, look, game one was I think the Lakers come out of that a little underwhelming, I think. Houston come out after having a big series against OKC, where they had to fight and claw to get through that in seven games, and they had the Lakers essentially waiting for them. And I think Houston come out with more energy in game one.
Yeah, that's how I sort of took it, and I felt LeBron in that first game at least came out with less energy. I mean, don't get me wrong, he got 20 points and 8 rebounds, but it just didn't feel like that LeBron that everybody, I guess, knows and possibly loves in that first game. But, yeah, I totally agree. Look, like James Harden was ready just to, you know, take this sort of series after that game
one. I guess he sort of, you know, they were on a bit of a roll. They were playing, so that they may as well just keep on playing. And I guess it took L.A. A game to sort of, I guess, to wake up. And, you know, they woke up in the rest of the series. But I think just for game one, I think sort of a bit of a pivotal key, you know, L.A. only scored 97 points. But I think a bit of a key for them was the lack of production they got out of Kyle Kuzma and Rajon Rondo, that like combined 6 of 18. That's not good enough.
Yeah.
You know, Kuz, when he's on, he's going to be the third wheel if he's on the court with AD and LeBron. So I think that was a bit of a pivotal. Not so much a pivotal moment, but just to have a little bit of lack of production from those guys.
Yeah.
Just in that first game. I think Houston come out just full of running like they do. And that's what they ended up doing. And the thing was, too, is Houston actually out-rebounded LA in that first game. And that just absolutely should not have happened.
And in saying that, that's exactly what happened in the first. You know, Robert Covington's playing center, or started center, put it that way. There's no way, you know, you've got Anthony Davis, JaVale McGee, and Dwight Howard. There's absolutely no way they should have out-rebounded them, but they did. But
absolutely not.
You noticed it then in game two where it was completely sort of flipped around, that they out-rebounded them, and then all the two big guns stepped up, Anthony Davis and LeBron James. LeBron only picking up a triple-double in that game.
Yeah, that's right. Look, yeah, game two was a totally different. Yeah, it was only an 8-point win to the Lakers. But
the whole series was pretty close. Yeah, Lakers won.
It was. Yeah, that's right. There was realistically, no, you know, there was no blowouts until game five. I think a big part of like this game anyway was Westbrook. And he's just this series, and especially in the first two games, just a turnover machine. Had 12 turnovers in the first two games. They were in clutch moments, they were actually going away from having James Harden with the ball and running with Russell Westbrook with the ball.
Yeah.
And it was pretty clear and evident that throughout this series, they were just going to leave Russ open anywhere outside the elbow. Like he gets his mid ranges to go, like, and he's always been a really good mid range player, especially from that elbow. He's automatic from the elbow. But anywhere past there at the moment, especially in the past two seasons.
Yeah.
He has just been horrendous shooting the three. And it was LA, it was pretty clear to me that it looked like LA were just going to, like, you can have as many threes as you want. And that's pretty much what happened.
I noticed that, especially in that last game when they did get blown out by nearly 20 points, that with Russell, I should say, only getting 10 points and 30% from the field goal. But is he – we didn't shake. He took three attempts for 3 points, didn't make any. Is he still injured? Because I don't know. He just didn't seem his
– No. I don't know, unless he's just, like, just, he used to be, you know, a pretty good shooter from 3-point land, and just in the last two seasons, I don't know what's happened. It is just for him it's just totally dropped off the map as a shot that is makeable and that other teams have to respect. If he's open, then he will make you pay. But yeah. In the last 2 years, he has just been brutal from three. And unfortunately, that's the Houston Rockets live and die by threes and getting to the rim and getting free throws. And unfortunately, at the moment, all Russ can do is one of them is get to the cup. And he could still get to the cup with ease. I don't think there's anything to do with explosiveness or anything from him injury wise. That type of game is going to come to a screeching halt very quickly. Like, his athleticism is getting, you hope it doesn't leave him, you know, all at once. You hope as he gets a little bit older, it has a steady decline. But,
well, he's 31. He plays with reckless abandon. He's 31 years old. And I'm not, clearly, you know, I'm not saying that old because we're older than 31. But 31 in NBA is, you know, it's, you know, I guess sort of spring chicken. I think the type of
game that he plays. I think that's what I'm sort of getting at. Explosiveness. It's going to leave him sooner rather than later.
And I honestly think the experiment of having a small ball lineup just didn't work. You know, and that's evident in a lot of these other series, which we'll talk about soon, that you need a center. You really
do. Can it work?
I don't think so.
The way that positionless basketball is at the moment, I don't know what the right team chemistry is, what the right team to put together is, but the incarnation of the Houston Rockets, the way that they play, the way that they play small ball, it's not going to work. And it's going to be a huge change of play now that D'Antoni has essentially decided to hit the free agent coach market.
Yeah, that's right.
Whoever they bring in, it could be a massive style change, and that could mean a very unsuccessful year next year. If they're going against all their instincts of what they've been playing the last couple of years, Houston, and they go to a more slowed down, you know, more half court. That's not going to be pretty basketball at all to watch.
I just can't, I don't know. There's too many in these semis, you know, Anthony Davis, Jokic. I still love the big man. And that's just a personal preference.
Of course.
You need a big man.
They're always going to be a part of this game. It's just evolution of what they are. They've got to be, you know, super athletic. It's got to be somebody like a Bam Adebayo, who hasn't quite got it. But that is the new age. That is the new age center.
And that's fine.
Dwight did it. How long ago? 10, 12 years ago. He was the next evolution of a center. You know, it was still power bully basketball, but he was the next evolution. He was just a tank. Ripped as hell. Yeah, it was almost a reincarnation of David Robinson, because David Robinson was just a tank.
Yeah,
and that's what Dwight Howard was, you know, and it was more, you know, rim running and things like that. Like, he had an okay post game.
Yeah,
but that wasn't really his forte. But now that the role of the big man is if you can't stretch the floor, then you've got to be somebody like Bam Adebayo who is just super athletic and can guard one through five.
I mean, if we move on to the other semi, the West Semi, the Clippers and Nuggets, talking about athletic big man, Nikola Jokic was just, oh my God, that guy just, it's unbelievable what he can do. It's, I hate the term point center, but he's a point center. It's unbelievable. They talked about, I think it was Durant that called Porzingis a unicorn. He's more of a unicorn than Porzingis. 100% to me.
I think it's just a little bit of recency bias, I think, with that. Like once we see KP back healthy, I think they could be different forms of unicorns. You're right. Like everybody's saying that Jokic is the best passing big man that the league has ever seen.
Yeah.
It's crazy. His vision, he's a point guard trapped inside a 7-foot body. There's no other way to put it.
And, from that first game, I thought, the Clippers blew him out. The Clippers really blew him out. Yeah, look, it was a best of seven series, but that first game was, it was a 23-point blowout. Kawhi stood up, got 29 points.
The Clippers shot 57% from the field.
Yeah.
That's going to be hard to sort of chase down. And Denver had come off, a 3-1 deficit against Utah in the season, in the series before. So not to say that they were within their rights to be a little flat.
It's like
to start, but yeah. That's what happened. I think that first game was pretty comfortable for the Clips. You don't want to say sort of flex the muscles a little bit, but this series, we're going to be in command of this series. And as it went on, game two, that Denver had, they'd sort of woken up a little bit. It's like, righto, we need to match energy, match intensity. Kawhi Leonard just looked, he was the one that was looking a little flat. He shot 4 for 17 from the field. He looked a little out of sync in that game, by the lofty standards that he sets.
Yeah.
To go 4 for 17 from the field.
Yeah.
And Denver took advantage of it.
Yeah, they certainly did. I mean, if the one person that really took advantage of it was Jamal Murray. Jamal Murray, he had that great sort of, a great series beforehand, but this one, he just stood out more.
He had 20 points in the 20 points in the second quarter.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, shot at 47%, so I suppose it's not too bad, 47.5%.
That's still okay. But the 40 point effort, it's just like, all right, well, this is what it is. Like he's earning that paycheck that he signed.
Yeah.
Was it this year or last year?
Last year. Yeah.
This
is its first year. Yeah, he's really sort of stood up.
Isn't the West at the moment just loaded with guards?
Oh, it's ridiculous. And
you know what I mean? Like, what the hell's going to happen next year at the All-Star game? If guys you're going to have two incumbent All-Stars back in Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, then it's Lillard is playing out of his mind. Murray is playing out of his mind.
Yeah, true. Yeah,
like, do you know what I mean? Like, there's somebody or multiple people are going to be, James Harden, Russell Westbrook. So there's going to be multiple hurt feelings next year at the All Star.
He's East.
For the meantime,
he could be West. That'd be ridiculous. Although I suppose that's why you get the coaches to pick the reserves. So, it was just with that series, but it was pretty sort of tight knit up until that game seven, which I completely watched every single minute of that game seven, and that fourth quarter, I just have no idea why the Clippers effectively just gave up. Like, Jamal Murray was awesome at 40 points, but they just looked...
4 boards, 5 assists, like, just...
But they just looked like they gave up. They literally... I mean, Kawhi was terrible in that game. It wasn't even close. You know,
well, 20... I've read that right. I missed... I think I just seen a few highlights in that game. Is that right? And Kawhi Leonard and Paul George are combined 0 points in the fourth quarter.
No, you're exactly right.
That just for those two guys to shrink that much. You know, Paul George had 4 for 16 in that game. Kawhi Leonard was 6 for 22. They just that's yeah. Okay. Everybody can all have a joke and a laugh about Paul George shrinking up in the playoffs, but that's not the kind of performance that you would accustom seeing Kawhi. From Kawhi Leonard.
No, definitely not. To me, he's sort of, it's hard. Like, I don't know if he gets a pass or not because, you know, he's done it before. I think for someone like Paul George, that it should have been him that sort of stepped up. And he really didn't. Like, a lot of the bench players outscored, well, I mean, Montrezl Harrell got 20 points, but the bench pretty much outscored that starting five. That's how they just, I couldn't work it out. You could just tell they literally just went, okay, well, we're not going to win this. It started
a little bit at the end of the third quarter as well. Like Denver got on a bit of a run at the end of the third quarter and then basically just continued on with it in the fourth. Like they outscored the Clippers 50-33 in the second half.
Yeah.
Like to only score 33 points in a half, like a lot of teams score 33 points in a quarter these days. So to have that in a half, in a game seven, you know, against a team that you would be very, very fancied against, it just it's not so much for myself, you know, it's a major letdown for the league and it's a major letdown for the Clippers.
On the other side, but the guy that's probably not talked about so much in that team, Jeremy Grant. Had it, you know, consistent enough, amazing for me. I mean, yeah, Jamal Murray.
Jeremy Grant has been good these playoffs.
He averaged 14 points per game. So he did what he had to, is what I'm saying. Like that, you know, that, okay, 14's not lights out, but
you've got a role to do.
Helping.
And that's what it is. You know, same with Michael Porter Jr. He's got a role to fill and.
Yeah.
If he can keep shooting the way that he's doing it, man, he makes things look so easy and he's just so smooth getting to the cup. It just if he can shake these back injuries that sort of plagued him in college and the first year he's in the NBA, if he can carry on this type of play into next season, he has got superstar potential.
I think so. He didn't have a good game that game. He probably needs to sort of know his place at the moment.
I think he might be feeling himself a little bit too much.
Probably. But, I mean, this is technically his first year in the NBA. He had that hype going in and all that, but I don't know. But, you know, they. Great series, very young team good.
It was credit to Denver. It's the first time they've been to the Western Conference Finals in 11 years, and that would have been a Carmelo Anthony and Chauncey Billups led Denver Nuggets. Though it was a very, very different, you know, rendition of the Denver Nuggets. They're the first team in NBA history to come back from two 3-1 deficits in a playoff series. Like it's unheard of.
Oh, it is unheard of. It was, that kind of thing, especially in the first time, you know, that could really sort of take it out of you, as it was evident in that first game, but they stuck to their guns and they did the same thing again, it was absolutely unbelievable. They deserved clearly to be in the finals.
No, it's right. Western Conference what next? Finals. Well, what next for the Clippers now?
Well, it's interesting. It's interesting you do say that because apparently after the post game, Paul George, for some reason, decided to have a post-game speech to in the locker room, which basically in words said, wasn't a great series. We all need to, have another run at this sort of next year, which apparently...
Well, Paul George and Kawhi Leonard have only signed... They've only signed on for 2 guaranteed years.
That's right. But so that's why he said everyone needs to have a run again. But a few people weren't happy with that purely because he didn't have the greatest series and he was only signed on for 2 years. And, you've only been there year one. So I don't think the problem with that they have is they can't blow the team up. I think they just have to stick with everybody and give it another shot.
That's absolutely what they have that's all they can do. Like, they can maybe make some moves to sort of get a little. They're already one of the deepest teams already bench wise. We thought that, the break because of the pandemic and everything like that, this was a team that was going to help them because Kawhi Leonard can get healthy. Paul George can shake these shoulder injuries. Kawhi Leonard can shake this supposed knee and quad and whatever the hell other injuries
that he didn't have to get load manage. He had so much time.
that he makes up to doctors so he can load manage. Like, it's unreal. Like, Denver came back from multiple double digit deficits.
Yeah.
It was just the inability, especially in those last 3 games, the inability to be able to close them out.
But I still feel like they were in there at every game, but just take game 7. They essentially gave up, which is that the only choice they have, they've got no draft picks.
They're not going to have any draft picks until 2077.
I haven't looked at sort of their squad. Well, I haven't looked at their squad, so I don't know if anyone's going into free agency. But I don't know, even if they're not, I don't know how much money they're going to have in free agency.
Well, they have to start trading players now.
Who do you trade?
Because they've got no assets. I just don't see it happening. It's going to be, let's bring everybody back. Doc Rivers will be back. Yeah. Let's try and build the chemistry up. Let's play as a team, like PG said, let's try and take one more run at this. But the funny thing is, if Paul George and Kawhi Leonard end up opting out, I'm not saying that that's going to happen. Even if Paul George opts out, then they've essentially how much of their future have they thrown away?
And you know what, I think someone will. It's terrible to say, but I think next year, literally, you hear this sort of term all the time, but literally for them, next year is championship or bust. Because that is
championship or bust this year.
I get that, but I get that, and they had a chance. But next year, if they don't do it next year,
if this year wasn't pressure filled for the Clippers. Next year is going to be, they are going to be scrutinized for everything.
And possibly be in a new stadium too, depending on COVID. So if one of those two go, then they'll both go. And then they're essentially, there goes five years.
Yeah, and then Steve Ballmer won't be, jumping up and down like a jackrabbit in his press conference going, cool, yeah!
It's interesting, everybody was, going on. Well, I felt more. Everybody was going on more about the Lakers trade for Anthony Davis. But I think the Clippers ones, personally, I'm probably biased, but I just think the Clippers one is just as, or if not worse.
It's just as bad. But you're seeing Anthony Davis, stepping up in these playoffs. Like, he's playing like the true superstar that he is. That he always was, even in New Orleans. But the funny thing is like the draft picks for both of those sides that were given away. So the OKC will have all the Clippers draft picks. The Pelicans will have the Lakers draft picks. They're worth nothing if you actually take them into the draft. They're worth nothing because the Lakers and the Clippers are good teams. So they're going to be late first round picks. And last time I checked, you know, OKC and New Orleans don't have terrific success in getting draft picks recently, especially late round draft picks.
Yeah.
They're not the San Antonio Spurs. Yeah, they don't find gems at the back end of the first round. So those draft picks that those two teams get, that yippee, they're first rounders, but they are worthless. They have to be used as trade assets.
I think so. I mean, they're going to have no option, I think. They're just going to have to. I think they give one more run to me. One more run at this with all the players and then just go from there. I think they don't have a choice, personally.
No, they absolutely don't.
I don't think they have a choice. The Eastern semis, but were, I will say shocked because I was shocked. I mean, especially in the first one, the Miami and Milwaukee. Milwaukee just winning it easy, four games to one, you know,
everybody said that this is going to be a matchup nightmare for the Bucks.
True.
And it turned out that way.
Yeah. Yeah.
The injury to Adetokounmpo, look, you know, we can all say that has absolutely played a part. Mm. But Miami made a statement in game one.
It's huge.
You know, Jimmy Butler come out, playoff career high, 40 points.
Yeah. Selling those $20 cup of coffees to everybody.
No, yeah, well, that's right. Yeah.
That's so good.
Adetokounmpo shot 4 from 12 from the free throw line and only had 12 shots, had 12 field goals, yeah, attempts.
You're
the MVP. You cannot let that happen.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, especially on the other side, even, you know, the other sort of figures, his defense wasn't that great. He had one block, so he had 10 rebounds, but he also got Defensive Player of the Year.
That's right.
You know, you're right.
It's going to be the guy that's on the team that's going to be the most dangerous consistently is Jimmy Butler. And right. he was asked at the end of the game, why weren't you guarding Jimmy Butler? Especially when he's on his way to scoring 40 points. Somebody's got to stop him. You've got the Defensive Player of the Year on your squad. Use him. And Giannis basically said, you need to ask the coach that. So,
which is interesting.
But he's got to take that upon himself. He's got to be able to have a little bit of game awareness and see what's happening and just go, no.
Yeah.
I'm going to take on this responsibility, not what the coach says is what our defensive scheme is going to be. That can't happen.
And so, you look at someone like LeBron that does do that. I think, you know, he's two-time MVP. He's a great defensive player. You're right. He's been there 6 years. He should now, you know, if clearly it's his team, I guess I'm saying he should have the awareness and honestly the balls to sort of just do it because, you know, if they're blowing out like that, which, you know, clearly Jimmy was on fire, you know, 65% was ridiculous.
Hitting mid-range shots. He was hitting threes. He was getting to the cup. Like it was ridiculous. That was just one of those lights out, you know, playoff performances. You know, and even though it's not a gigantic score, 40 points, you know, in a playoff game,
yeah,
in normal circumstances, not in, you know, this restart circumstance where there's no crowd, 40 points in a playoff game is a big deal.
The Miami I'm talking about here, you know, just. In all those sort of games, their team, what's the word I'm sort of looking for? I think they flew under the radar. Like, and I don't get me wrong, they made the playoffs, they were all good and all that. But I think the team was probably went in a little bit underrated is probably the best word to use. You had Jimmy Butler there, and Bam, you know, Bam was one of the finalists for most improved. Don't get me wrong, I think they just flew under the radar a little bit, or people just didn't probably took it for granted.
I don't think a lot of people, a lot of people probably just didn't take Miami seriously because they were essentially going to come in as if they finished fourth, they ended up finishing fifth, but, you know, come in as being that sort of fourth wheel at the top of the Eastern Conference, where it was, you know, where it was obviously the Bucks, the Celtics, and the Raptors. And they were going to be your genuine contenders to make the NBA Finals. And Miami, you know, whether they took it personally, whether they've just gone, look, you know, dismiss us as you will, you know, at your own peril. And they've, yeah, they've basically just come out and by the end of the series, they had just pulled Milwaukee's pants down. And it was unbelievable to watch and see it unfold. And you go through, even if you go through to game two, like they had some intense games. Like game two and game four were super intense, super close. You know, you go through, you know, you fast forward all the way through, like just a key point for game two. You fast forward all the way to four and a half seconds left. Dragic with a soft touch foul on Middleton, a shooting a three.
Yeah.
You know, Middleton steps up, buries all three of them to tie the game at 114.
Yeah.
Miami takes the timeout, gets down the other end of the court. Jimmy Butler fouled as time expires, and again a soft foul. I think anyway. Yeah, there was a little bit of a push sort of after the fact. And he only scored 13 points in game two,
Jimmy Butler. Yeah.
But just steps up cool and calm, knocks down the first one, nothing but net, and the second one goes off the front of the rim, off the backboard, and dribbles into the hoop. And you're like, oh, my God, if you're a Miami Heat fan, you're like, oh, just don't.
Yeah.
But it just, I mean, you know, time it obviously expired. Whether they would have re-looked at that and maybe put some time back on the clock, it just, those sorts of calls, they're pivotal at the end of the game.
They are. Yeah. Yeah, they really are. I mean, I don't know. Probably like everybody, I went in with thinking the Bucks were gonna win this series. Probably not easily. I probably even underestimated Miami and just how good that team is, especially one Tyler Hero, which looking at it now, I don't know, I mean, it's all perspective, of course, but should he have probably been a top five draft pick the way he's been playing?
Oh, he's playing out of his skin at the moment. Like he's been a real find. Like, you know, what did he get drafted 13th? So, you know, technically still in the lotto, you know, in the lottery. But He's at the moment he's not playing like a rookie.
No, he's not.
Like he is stepping into shots confidently. He's playing out of his mind. He's overtaken Kendrick Nunn. You know, Kendrick Nunn was for the regular season anyway, was in the conversation for being up there for rookie of the year.
Yeah.
And Tyler Hero in this restart in Orlando and throughout these playoffs, he's just overtaken him.
His postseason points per game average is 16.5. So that's
amazing.
For a 20-year-old person in postseason, you know, it's his first season. So
that's right.
I just like their team. I was, you know, they have the right mix there. You know, Goran Dragic is, you know, a steady veteran, clearly, in this game. He's a steady veteran.
Dragic, now that he's healthy,
yeah,
everybody's reminded of what Goran Dragic is.
Yeah, yeah.
He is a clutch player.
And I think they just, to be honest, I think they kept, clearly kept the right center in Bam Adebayo too, instead of Hassan Whiteside. I think, you know, once they got rid of that money, they were able to get Jimmy, and that was probably the best move they could make. So,
no, exactly. But that's, I mean, they're great at spreading the floor. You've got Duncan Robinson. You've got, Hero. You've got Butler. You've got
Jay Crowder. He's playing well.
Jay Crowder. Yeah, they can all bury the three. Hmm. Yeah, the acquisition of Andre Iguodala. You know, noted LeBron stopper. You know, that might have been 5 years ago, but you know they got him there for a reason, for his, you know, for his length, for his defensive prowess, and you know that championship caliber type guy, you know, in the locker room. Like you're not gonna see what Iguodala does for the team on the stat sheet.
No, that's right. But I mean, even Jay Crowder, he's moved four teams in the last 3 years, so he could be playing bitter, but clearly he's not playing bitter. He's a playoff player. I mean, look what he did with Utah. He played pretty well with Utah in the playoffs.
No, that's right.
That was another good sort of pickup. They're just coming into these finals.
Pat Riley.
Yeah. Well, there is that. Yeah, definitely Pat Riley. I think
like we said too, you know, you can't discount the injury to Adetokounmpo. Like, that had a massive bearing on this series. Like, he got hurt in game two and played on it, kept going. And then in game three, he goes down, same ankle, and it's... You can't say that it was lights out, but it just, you know, Milwaukee, they come all the way back in the fourth quarter. Like, they were getting hammered.
Yeah,
and the Bucks came back, and I think they outscored the Heat like 40-13 in the fourth quarter, and it still was a 15-point win. So they were just getting trounced, and unfortunately, the likes of Eric Bledsoe, Chris Middleton, they've got to say, and Chris Middleton had an unbelievable game four. And, you know, everyone will sort of point out and say that, yes, Chris Middleton's an all-star. Don't get me wrong, Chris Middleton is a top player and worthy of these, you know, worthy of these all-star selections with the numbers he's putting up. But let's face it, he's an all-star because of Giannis Antetokounmpo. Like, let's face the facts here.
Yeah, well, that's true. No, I agree. I totally agree with that. I think, all-star aside, there's no reason why he couldn't help the team, which he sort of did, but I still think they needed that third wheel. And, you know, it could have been Eric Bledsoe, but I don't think he did enough in that series. They still need that third wheel. You know, about a team that I don't think they need to have one more run of it. I think they need to sort of work out what they actually need.
Don't discount the loss of Malcolm Brogdon.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
I think that hurt them in more than one way.
Well, I think they obviously clearly like, because it was between was it Middleton or was it Bledsoe they had to re-sign? They had one or the other to re-sign.
I think it might have been Middleton.
Okay.
I think Bledsoe was already on a contract. I think it was Middleton that they had to sort of give that little bit of an upgrade, and Indiana ended up throwing more money at Brogdon.
Yeah.
I think it ended up being 20 million a season, was it? It was 4 years, for 80?
Yeah, yeah. Possibly a little bit more. I thought it was close. Yeah, close into the 90, but anyway, yeah.
But do you know what I mean? Like, you know, he himself can he knock that back? Like, there was no way the Bucks were going to be able to afford that.
Because he was restricted, so exactly. So they had, you know, they had the option obviously to match it, and they obviously declined.
They chose not to, and I think that was a mistake.
The thing is that and again, like the Clippers, they're probably a little bit like next season, that after next season, Giannis has a player option too. So, you know, do they try to get someone in now, or do they try to get someone in?
They have to.
Yeah.
Yeah, the thing is, they have to find I don't know who the right player is, but they have to, like you said, they have to find that third wheel. We know what Chris Middleton can do. Like, I mean, he's a lights out shooter. He's inconsistent. He goes missing.
You know who would be good? I don't know how they could afford it, because this guy is going to get paid nearly $40 million. But you know who would be good for them?
CP3.
Yeah. 100%. He would be I don't know what they'd have to give up and all that, but man, he, if you had a core of CP3, Giannis, Lopez, and well, they're probably gonna have to give up Bledsoe. So, but if you can keep Middleton,
absolutely. But CP3 could. What would OKC even do that sort of deal? It'd have to be Bledsoe.
They'd get rid of $40 million, maybe.
But that's the thing. It'd have to be Bledsoe, maybe a couple of guys off the bench, and some draft picks like that. That's.
I know, but you know, he's proven what he can do in a postseason.
Could you imagine the combination of Chris Paul and Giannis Antetokounmpo?
Oh, it'd be like what Blake Griffin and CP3 should have been, but you know, a lot better. Clearly, a lot better. So you know, that'd be interesting if they could piece that together. That would be a piece that would work, I think. They'd have to give up a few assets.
Chris Paul, just the way that he gets, I think he gets a bit of a bad rap. You know, Chris Paul, you know, he's never made a conference final. You know, he's
had a phenomenal season this year.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think he had one of his best seasons in years.
And now
he's the one that turned that team around.
No, that's right. Now look at what OKC's basically done. You know, Billy Donovan's gone, I don't want to be here anymore. I don't want to go through a rebuild. And then he goes and signs with Chicago. Like, what the hell?
Yeah, but so if he sees it, he doesn't want to rebuild. That's what I mean.
What do you think he's going to be doing at Chicago?
Oh, this is true.
Good grief. He's got a better chance of doing something.
Yeah.
With what he's got at OKC and what they discovered. Chicago is a dumpster fire.
Yeah, that's a whole different ball game to talk about with Chicago. I don't know what that team can do. But yeah, he wouldn't be a bad option, I think, for Milwaukee if they can string it together. Because that, you know, him making $40 million next year is going to be absolutely ridiculous. But
there has to be that steady hand. There has to be something done.
The last series was Toronto and Boston. I mean, to me, it felt like probably the best series, probably because they were so close together in every game. Yeah, you know, a little bit of a blowout in probably the first game, but. Boston end up winning in seven games, 4-3.
Yeah, look, I don't think too much. Not both teams couldn't really sort of gain a lot of traction in this series either. You know, it sort of went two games to Boston, two games to Toronto, you know, Boston, Toronto, Boston. So there was no sort of, I guess, real leg up for anybody. The first couple of games, I think Toronto were pretty brutal. Shooting percentage wise, I think game one Boston had 22 turnovers, and Toronto just couldn't capitalize that. They're only shooting 37% from the field, so Toronto just couldn't sort of, I guess, wake up and try and punish Boston for having that many turnovers. Like in a playoff game, if you're having 22 turnovers, you're in big trouble. But yeah, as the series went on, you know, Toronto had a good lead in game two, and it just turned into the Marcus Smart show. Like I watched that game, that fourth quarter by him was incredible.
Yeah. You know, they talk about him as a defensive player. Clearly, I mean, he's a great defensive player.
He ain't afraid to shoot.
He ain't afraid to shoot. That's exactly right. That's what I was sort of getting at. Like, you know, he chimes in when he needs to, but man, his defense. And I think I'm just more happy with his defense because he's not a big guy.
He's a high draft pick. But
yeah. But what I'm saying is, you know, you see these defensive players of the year or nominees and all that, they tend to be, you know, your big guys like your Anthony Davis and your Giannis. You know, he plays bigger than he is, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. Two guys that I thought got a little bit disrespected for Defensive Player of the Year. One was Marcus Smart, and the other, not so much Defensive Player of the Year, but you know, maybe in your All Defensive Team was Marcus Smart, even though he made the All Defensive Team. But the other one is Drew Holiday.
Yeah.
And he is going to be a big trade target in this offseason. And you know, just coming from a fan's perspective, I hope New Orleans don't let him go, because I think he's going to be a very integral part of what they do next year.
That'd be someone at the Bucks as well. That'd be some serious trade bait. It'd probably be easier to get him right. than possibly easy to get him.
But we'll then once again, what does New Orleans want to take back? And if they start offering draft picks, it's like, well, we've already got, you know, we've already got a whole bunch of worthless, you know, late round draft picks from LA. Like, do we want more from Milwaukee? If they're going to be having the best, second best, third best record in the league, they're going to be more worthless draft picks.
Yeah, well, true, but I mean, you know, packaging Eric Bledsoe with possibly someone else and a couple of drafts to me is a bit more believable for Drew Holiday than CP3 purely because of how much money.
Look, I'd take somebody like Dante DiVincenzo off their hands any day. I think that kid's got plenty of potential.
Are you liking the way? Look, they won and everything. Are you liking how Kemba's sort of chiming in in this game, or you reckon it's just sort of?
I think he can do more.
Yeah, that's my feeling. I think
he can do more, but he's certainly second fiddle to Jason Tatum.
Yeah, to me, like, that's
there's
right.
No, there's no ifs or buts about that, but it unfortunately comes down to almost the way that Houston played. It's only, you know, we'll go back to last year. When you had James Harden and CP3, there's only one basketball.
Yeah.
So when they've got, you know, when Boston's got Tatum, they've got Smart, who's not afraid to shoot. They've got Jaylen Brown. Yeah, they've got Kemba Walker, who's more of an ISO type point guard. Yeah, he still gets you assists. He might get you 5 or 6 assists a game.
Gordon Hayward when
You've
healthy.
Got Gordon Hayward. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like there's a lot to go around. That's where I think Miami, you know, as it goes into the next series, that's where I think Miami might have a little bit more of a chance to beat Boston in that next series, in the Eastern Conference Finals, is just purely on the fact that I think they like to sort of share the ball a little bit more than what Boston does.
I think so. I mean, you're right, because it ended up being pretty evident. In that, I guess, that game-winning game, that it was that just, and Jason Tatum sort of took over and so did Jaylen Brown. I just, which can work. I mean, don't get me wrong. You got a two-man show happening in LA, and clearly that works. But
they also get production, you know, I guess sort of consistent production off the bench.
Yeah.
Boston doesn't really get that consistent.
But Boston
production
doesn't have a bench. That's their problem.
No, that's
they have
the
a great
they're
starting
very
five.
Top heavy.
Yes, they have a very good starting five, and that's probably why we both sort of said Kemba's probably lacking in what he's been doing. But they don't have a bench. That's probably their biggest setback. Is they, you know, I'm not discrediting a lot of the players like Enes Kanter and all that, but they just don't have a bench, unfortunately.
He hasn't been playing a lot either.
They don't have depth, I should say. That's probably the best way to put
it. But Enes Kanter, I thought, would have had a little bit more of a prominent role, you know, just purely as a rebounder, and he basically, you know, especially on the offensive end, like he's got the sniff for an offensive rebound or two. So
Daniel Theis has been pretty good.
I think he's basically been the one that's keeping him out of the lineup.
Yeah,
plus he plays a lot better defense than what Enes Kanter does. I think Enes Kanter can turn into a turnstile.
Yeah. What do you think, just before we finish up then, what do you think the Raptors go from here? The one we talked about, other teams, where do you think they'll go for here? Because
they really need to do too much. No. Like they need... Look, Fred VanVleet's going to get paid this offseason. I think he's up for an extension.
Yeah.
Look, they've got a good youth movement there. I think Siakam, whether or not he's topped out at the moment, you know, this is what Siakam is going to be. Can he get better? You know, obviously Kyle Lowry's still there. You know, he's not getting any younger at the moment.
Well, he only got that 1 year deal, didn't he? So
I think so, yeah.
I think it was just a 1 year, 20 or 30 million or whatever it was, I'm pretty sure. So, and he's 34 years old, so he's not young. I didn't really change much, but I think I wouldn't let VanVleet go. I don't know if they decide to keep Kyle Lowry this time around. I mean, they exceeded expectations. You know,
absolutely, that's right, absolutely. Yeah, you know, they lose the finals MVP. and they finished second. It's a testament to them, and I think a lot of that is to do with Nick Nurse as well.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, Mr. Coach of the Year, I completely agree with you. I don't know if you have another go around with Kyle Larry. And Kyle Larry is a great player, don't get me wrong. And that's why they paid him for that 1 year for 30, because, you know, it basically said you deserve it after what you did for us last year.
If they're going to, you know, get rid of Kyle Larry or let him walk, it's got to be a system type player that's going to come in to fit that, to fit that Toronto system and essentially sort of do what. You think Chris Paul could be for a 1 year run, a 1 or 2 year run. I think Chris Paul would be an upgrade on Kyle Lowry.
I tell you what, we're throwing a Chris Paul name around. I'm wondering how many people are actually genuinely. Don't you just find that interesting when he's going to get paid $40 million next year that we're throwing?
Right. It's going to be the teams that are going to be,
win now.
Championship aspirations.
Yeah. Win now.
You know,
team.
It might be, six teams, eight teams that would be genuinely interested in Chris Paul.
He might even follow. You know, I read a report the other day. He's not saying this, but I read a report he might even follow Billy Donovan to Chicago. So.
Oh my lord.
I read it so much, and we keep saying it so much. I just find that a phenomenal that we're talking about a guy that's again going to make $40 million next year, but it could go on four or five different teams and help them win. So
no, that's right. Well, there's an article that I posted up on the Facebook page from I can't remember if it was from Slam Magazine or Bleacher Report that, trades that could actually happen and make sense for all 30 teams. Yeah. And Chris Paul's name popped up for a lot of them.
He's also another article that I read. He's also the second most highest paid player. Just behind LeBron James, he's earned just close to $261 million. So, which is fine. I mean, the next closest then is Carmelo at $248 million. So,
unfortunately he took the money instead of being that third wheel in Miami, and Chris Bosh ended up taking that spot. So, Melo could have had himself a couple of championships as well, but. Decided to stay in New York and take the dollars that were being offered. So, I don't care what anybody says, you can't fault him for that, for taking the money. Like the Knicks had a couple of years where it looked like they might have had a pretty good team, to sort of maybe do a little bit of damage in the playoffs, and that all sort of come to a screeching halt. And for me, I don't care what anybody says. It was the day that they let Jeremy Lin walk out the door. If you're James Dolan, he brought so much excitement to Madison Square Garden in a 3 week period, more than what they've had in the last 10 years.
Just pay him.
Let him walk.
He wants another run back in the NBA, too.
He wants to come back as well. That's right.
That'll be interesting.
I couldn't believe that they let him walk. He's one of the richest owners that the NBA has got, and he let him walk.
Yeah, exactly.
It was unbelievable.
That would have been, tapping into that. If he kept with it, tapping into that Chinese market would have been ridiculous for him.
Exactly.
So, I agree.
I mean, we got off topic a little bit there, but,
It's the same sort of thing. We're just talking about sort of players that could possibly help the teams for next year. Don't know what Jeremy Lin could help, but
hey, that's all right. Lin's got himself a championship with a dinosaur on it. He's fine.
Well, that's true. Well, that was all the semis. So that'll do it for this NFL. Oh my god, we'll probably talk about that soon. Actually, NBA semifinal podcast. Oh my god.
Look, the conference finals are going to be. I think it'll be. Interesting, like Lakers Denver should be a fun series, and Miami Boston, I think that's going to be a ripper.
crapshoot. You just don't know which way it could go.
Yeah. I still think I give Miami the edge just purely on the way that, you know, they're almost sort of playing San Antonio Spurs basketball. They like to share the ball. The ball moves seamlessly. Yeah, they've got weapons from downtown. They've got a little bit more depth on the bench than what Boston's got, but Boston's got a super high-powered starting five. So I think that could be a really, really interesting series.
Well, that'll do it. Don't forget to follow us all on – well, you can literally do it everywhere, I suppose, everywhere you get your podcasts, so Spotify, Facebook, Twitter, at Final Play Pod. And Gimco, of course, who I think gave us a shout-out on an NFL break last week, I believe.
Yeah, good shout-out. Yeah, thanks heaps, Dom. Yeah, we always appreciate the love that we get from Gimco and Dom definitely. And Mojo King. So, always appreciate the love and always love putting out the name Mojo King.
Every time it makes me laugh. It's hard not to laugh when you say Mojo King. Or anybody, really. So it doesn't matter who says it. It's just, it makes me laugh so much. I wish I had that name. I wish I could change my name to that. That'd be awesome.
He's the man.
That'll do it. We'll have an NFL coming up week one, and they're just going to pop up a few more soon too. So stay tuned for all them.
Yeah, stay tuned, everybody. Yeah, NFL has been awesome. We'll obviously do a NBA Eastern Conference, Western Conference Finals pod. There's too many sports going on at the moment. So, we got NRL Finals coming up too. It's just, thanks a lot. Thanks a lot, COVID. So, we're just getting bombed at the moment.
Yeah. Thanks a lot for actually putting them all together, but then thanks a lot that we can't do all this in like one sort of hit. So, I don't want to put it together, but...
If Tats Lotto could be really nice and just, you know, and just make one of us win the lottery, then we don't have to work during the day and we can do this kind of stuff all day.
We could bust these out all the time. We could do so much different stuff. So,
it'd be the Final Play Daily podcast.
That's just a shout out to any sponsors who want to sponsor us.
Give us a shout out on Twitter.
All right. Have a good week, everyone. See ya.
Peace out.